and welcome to Bubbly Bibbly, the podcast about books and bubbles, literature and libations, authors and alcohol.
We love books and bubbly. We are friends who offer a curated book review section on our website and a hilarious podcast. We discuss books, drinks, and stories from our lives. I'm Rachel.
And I am Carmen. I ditched the topic for this episode and started over when I heard the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. It was something that honestly, I did not even think was possible.
Right. And I think we were the first generation that actually grew up with Roe versus Wade as law. And now it's been removed as a federal law and passed down to the states.
Yes. And you and I are not going to get political, but the fact is that almost every American, regardless of race or economic status or anything else that divides us, feels very strongly one way or another on this subject.
But I think we can talk about the power of reading and being a woman in the United States. And I think we do have something to say in that regard.
Yes, yes. And I've said this before, and I'll state it again. No one is pro-abortion. No one.
Right, exactly. Nobody is.
You know, it's an agonizing decision to make during an agonizing time in a female's life. And it's really a multifaceted event that carries a lifetime of emotion and memory revolving around whatever decision you make. And so those who advocate for legal protections to have this procedure are simply pro-choice.
And we also need to point out that both sides use inflammatory tactics to make their points. If you are for the legal right to choose, or if you are against the procedure altogether, you have the right to your opinion. However, make sure that your opinion is based on fact and not based solely on what you hear.
Mm-hmm. And that is where we come in, Rachel. Reading is a tried and true way to get smarter on any subject. So if you read fictional accounts or firsthand experiences, medical reports, magazine and newspaper articles, biographies, it doesn't matter. Every written medium out there for you is going to add to your knowledge on a subject.
It has long been a mantra of America that knowledge is power. And in this episode, Carmen and I are going to help you increase your knowledge through the power of reading.
Rachel and I want Bubbly Bibbly to acknowledge and respect everyone and your beliefs. Is there something you'd like us to cover that's important to you? Or do you want to get the word out on a particular subject? There's probably a book for that. And we want to hear what you want to hear about. Let us know on the contact page at www.bubblybibbly.com.
Since we've changed this section up a little, I feel like we need to introduce it a little better. We just seem to go from topic to what we're reading and drinking. So this section, which is section one, is actually what we're reading and drinking.
Yes. Very good.
Yes.
So, Rachel, what are you reading?
Well, I am reading. It's called, I just started, John Grisham's Sparring Partners. And I think you'll like it because it's actually a novella with three short stories in it. Mm. I just started it last night, so I'm not too far along in it. So what are you reading?
I just finished a book called Gods Behaving Badly by Marie Phillips. It is about the 12 gods of Olympus in this day and time, in the 21st century. So Artemis is a dog walker. I know. Artemis is a dog walker. Apollo is a psychic, and on and on. I think this is Phillips' first book, and it was very entertaining.
I love that. So in my little cocktail, actually, I've already had it. I think things might get a little fiery tonight. So I took a quick and little small shot of Fireball. It's a little redneck and a little classy. Kind of just like me.
I needed
something to take the edge off.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. Well, I'm drinking a drink I found online. It's called the Notorious RB Ginger in honor of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Just like the late Justice,
RBG.
It is strong. Yes, strong with a hint of sweetness. So it has Cointreau, rum, simple syrup, lemon juice, ginger, and ginger beer.
I don't think I would like that. I'm not a big fan of ginger beer, but.
Okay. Well, it's very good in this.
I bet. Well, let's buckle in and let's get this show on the road. The first thing I will say is to stop watching television news, get off social media. I've just tried to like dive into books. But since this advent of like 24-hour news channels, news has become more entertainment than actual news. Just go to a station, go to Netflix, or just watch something different. Go to Fox News if you watch CNN, or go to CNN and go, you know, watch Fox News. Go to the opposite side on the topic and watch and do something.
It's interesting you would say that, Rachel, because here's what I did once. I chose a topic and I can't remember what it was. I think it was the incident of I think this was when Washington had that those tents and those people that were stopping traffic, and wasn't that in Washington State?
Oh yes, uh huh.
You know what I'm talking about,
right?
So I took that subject and I read articles on Fox News and on CNN. And it was so interesting to see the direction that they came from, because the bias is so, it's so sneaky. And you don't realize these emotional words. Like, no newscaster should ever say the word appalling, because I don't want to know whether they think something is appalling. I just want them to report.
Tell me what's happening.
Yes.
Not necessarily.
Yes. Don't tell me what you think about it. Yeah.
Right.
But they're trying to get ratings now. It's all about the ratings. And that's why they have to be very, very inflammatory. And so I totally agree with you when you say stop watching television news. So today we're going to use Roe versus Wade and look at the stories on CNN and Fox. So those are left of center and right of center, but neither one are extreme. And
right.
Just read the same article, just read the announcement of the Supreme Court decision on both of those media pages, and then just stop and think about the inherent bias in both of them, because I think it will be
right.
Eye-opening for you.
Well, I mean, keep in mind these television shows, I don't even know if they're newscasts anymore, but the programs are all about ratings and nothing else. So the creators and producers are always looking for that right phrase or hook to get the viewers emotional.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think we've talked about this before, but just like the far left turned Florida's law against K through third grade teachers talking about sexual orientation or gender identity, the left needed a tidy slogan, and they very incorrectly christened it the Don't Say Gay law, which is in fact very, very incorrect. You can say gay in school, in any grade, in school, anywhere. You can talk about blended families. You can talk about sexual orientation or gender identity after the third grade. And so if you only watch and hear the claims for the leftist advocates or only the right-wing advocates, you're really missing the nuances and the truth of the law.
Right. And likewise with gun control. So the right wants no gun control at all, and the NRA sees any limitations at the beginning of the end, you know, that slippery slope of the government chipping away at America's rights to bear arms. And they don't want any legislation at all that may restrict that gun ownership in America. And we're not saying one way or another on any of that.
But right, right.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so we're bordering on being political, which is one thing that we said we weren't going to do. So maybe we need to get some ice water on this fire and come back with some books that speak truth to power.
I have recently added some new items on our merchandise page, and I really encourage you to go look. We got some cute stuff. We have partnered with a quality supplier, and Carmen and I have reviewed and used each and every item. When you purchase, be sure to snap a photo for social media and tag us at hashtag BubblyBibbly.
My aunt and cousin are on the trip of a lifetime to Greece, and I gave my aunt a book.
Ooh, how nice is that?
I gave my book an... Okay, wait a minute. The RB Ginger's kicking in. I gave my aunt a book. I did not give my book an aunt, because that would be cool too.
Gotcha.
Before they left, it was The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. And when I read the leaked document of the Supreme Court, I remembered the timeline of the story by Atwood. And the government is overthrown by religious zealots, and women's rights are slowly removed. And to me, this is just almost fiction becoming reality.
It is weird because it's true. Some of this dystopian fiction is becoming slowly reality. There have long been authors who have warned of future oppression at the hands of government, like George Orwell's 1984, published in 1949. Mm-hmm. And since that novel, we have seen the reality of a government eavesdropping on its citizens and doing so much more with technology that would never have been thought of since then. You know, they're eavesdropping on. I mean, there's a lot of things we probably don't even know about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Another really powerful book is When She Woke by Hillary Jordan. The description starts, as a lot of these do, quote unquote, in the not too distant future. And reader, that means that it could happen to us at any time. This book forces her to question the value she once held true and the righteousness of a country that now politicizes faith. So, does this sound familiar?
Also, another book, Never Let Me Go by Kazuro Ishiguro, was published over a decade ago, but it had some very clever warnings. The story takes a look at human arrogance and a moral examination of how we treat the vulnerable and the different in our society, and it paints a real picture of what the future could be. And it's by no means kind to everyone.
Yes, yes. Octavia Butler was in last month's newsletter on the author spotlight, and she wrote a series called Earthseed. And the first title in that series is Parable of the Sower. This is part of the summary. The lead character tries to salvage what remains of a culture that has been destroyed by drugs, disease, war, and chronic water shortages. And I will say again, sound familiar? And this book was published in 1993, which is, clutch my pearls, 28 years ago.
Oh my gosh, we're getting old, Carmen. I think we really, all of us need to realize we are on the cusp of something. We're always on the cusp of something. It's going to be good, or is it going to be not good? Is it going to benefit the few or the masses? And what role are you willing to play in it? And I got to say, my daughter and I were talking about this whole situation over the weekend, and both of us are tired of living through historic moments. We're kind of done with it. We would like for it to be normal for a while with nothing going on.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. You know, but if you think about it, American history is there is no decade where there was not something historic that happened.
But good because, historic, and I think because, though. I'm thinking like the 80s, the only thing that happened is they tore down the wall. I mean, the 80s was pretty good.
Well, we had the Challenger disaster.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, and, you know, that whole space flight thing in the 80s, that was the beginning of Reagan's Star Wars. And, you know, the reason Huntsville, Alabama is on the map, really. So, you're right. We are always on the cusp of something. And one of the reasons to read dystopian novels is because one day they may not be dystopian. They will have been predictive if it comes to pass. And they would have been a warning that we did not heed. And I saw this statement while I was doing my research. Through the introduction, now I'm going to read this. So, through the introduction of alternate realities, dystopias encourage people to reconsider their present day. I found two books in my personal library that I am going to give to two listeners. So stay tuned to Bubbly Bibbly for details on the books and how you can get one of them.
Okay, so this has been pretty heavy.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not sure it's going to get lighter in this last section. In the last part, we talked about dystopian societies, and we talked about a number of titles. But in this next part, I want to look at what we have done and continue to do to the environment. So the last one was really about society and how the people themselves and the structure of society has changed. In this part, I want us to talk about the environment.
Rachel Carson in 1962 published a book called The Silent Spring, or maybe not The Silent Spring, but Silent Spring. And she became more and more concerned about the uncontrolled use of synthetic pesticides. And her book presented such concerning practices, and she presented it in a very understandable way. So many Americans were appalled that the nation's mm-hmm. pesticide policy was reversed. Many chemicals like DDT were outlawed, mm-hmm. and the grassroots effort grew to become the Environmental Protection Agency that we know today.
Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, because she wrote a book that so many people read, she was able to reach a really large number of people. And she wasn't trying to get anything changed as far as the law was concerned. She was just trying to make people aware of what was happening. And like you said, Americans were so appalled that things changed. Well, so, you know, if you think about it.
I liked it that she was just presenting facts about what was going on.
Yes, yes. Yes. Now, if you think about it, we have continuously clear-cut forests. We have drilled, mined, and detonated into the earth. We have changed and added, restricted, and decimated rivers, streams, tributaries, and lakes. And we've wiped out entire species of animals while doing it. And we know all of this. We know all of this.
Yeah.
And yet we continue to do it.
Right. I think one book that every student should read is The Uninhabitable Earth by David Wallace Wells. It's a short, it's 200 pages that unpacks the past. It talks about the present and really warns about the future. It's going to cause you concern and anxiety, but the main hope is to cause action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I found another kind of cool title. It's called The Ministry for the Future by Kim Stanley Robinson. And it's listed as speculative fiction, but, or even science fiction on some of the lists. But mm-hmm. when you read it, you'll see it, it looks really familiar. So it's, there is a new organization in the government that is established in the year 2025, and it is to advocate for the world's future generations and to protect all living creatures, present and future. And it's told in fictional firsthand accounts. So it just sounded really intriguing to me, and I am putting this one on my TBR.
And I love that you put this next author in here. So Jeff Vandermeer, whose series Area X I read a couple of years ago. Remember, I couldn't put it down. I had to figure out what Area X was. I never did figure it out. But he has a series is also, he has a series that's also a must read called Southern Reach. And it currently has three titles with a fourth book planned. And it's about an area of the planet that has been cut off from the rest for decades. And the government entity called Southern Reach starts to send expeditions into this area to bring out information. And all of them that have returned have very different findings.
Now, the first one in that series is Annihilation. And I seem to remember you going on and on about Annihilation and how good and compelling and yet scary it was.
It was. It was really good. I thought it was fabulous.
Well, and you told me, Carmen, you've got to read this book. And it's on my TBR, but I haven't read it yet. So I may look at moving it up a little bit. I've been thinking if we could each have a visit from the something like the Ghost of Christmas Future, you know, like Ebenezer did, and it focused on the Earth of the future, I think we would all be a lot more concerned about it today. And the most ignorant of us deny it. The most evil of us say, it won't happen in my lifetime, so I don't care. And then the most apathetic of us, which I think is most of us, just shake our heads and feel powerless. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I've mentioned this. They stopped recycling in my city because the price was going to increase. And I wrote a letter to the editor to express concern, and I called the county commissioner. And according to him, I was the only one who cared.
You gotta be kidding, Carmen. I'm so sorry.
I know.
Well, you know, right now, the current president of Brazil is moving forward with very aggressive deforestation of the Amazon, saying like the Brazil's economy is far more important than that of being the lungs of the world. And I wonder if he feels the same, if his own ability to breathe was compromised. I mean, if he was asthmatic or had even just an inkling of what oxygen really, like what we're doing to the earth.
Yes.
I mean, the bank accounts are getting bigger and the Amazon is getting smaller. So it also reminds me that those people in the new suburban housing developments, too, they're so mad because there's bears and elk and deer and coyotes and other wildlife coming into their, you know, onto their yard or in their yard. It's like, no, hello, you moved into their area. Like,
yes.
It's just a thing about respect of nature and what Earth has offered us and where we are in this Earth.
And, you know, there are so many buildings that are already standing and vacant. Right. And Walmart is notorious for building another Walmart 2 miles down the road instead of renovating the building that they have. And if you go online and search on Walmart libraries, you will see where libraries in big cities have taken over the Walmart and have just the most beautiful library in that building. And I know that our library...
I love that.
Yes. Our library, we had a high school that was vacant, and one of the library branches was outgrowing their space, and so they renovated the high school. And that's the kind of civic mindedness.
It's my old high school, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's the kind of civic mindedness we need to have.
It's the old Grissom building. It's the old Grissom
building. That's
right,
the Virgil Grissom High School. Yes. But the whole thing is just very upsetting to me, and it really should be to all of you. The one thing that we can say is to vote. Like your life depends on it, because really, if you think about it, it does.
It really does.
Because we're going a little long, here are a few more titles for you, and just jot them down if you don't mind. Flight Behavior by Barbara Kingsolver, The Swan Book by Alexis Wright, and American War by Omar El-Akkad. And that one was particularly interesting because it's about the second American Civil War. And the sound of our cheering fans means it's time for listener comments.
Tara commented on the Juneteenth episode post that she wants to talk to Carmen about Cloud Cuckoo Land, which Carmen was listening to at that time. How are you coming with that, Carmen?
Well, I think I have over four hours left. And I got to tell you, Tara is right to want to discuss this because, Tara, I too have feelings. Now, if you have read Cloud Cuckoo Land by Anthony Doerr, if you'd like to join the conversation, let me know in the next week or two. And Tara, I will contact you and we'll set up something as soon as I finish.
And many thanks to Amanda for sharing the cutest picture of a bibliophile cup she saw in a local gift shop. I am picking one up tomorrow, by the way. It is so adorable. Thanks, Amanda.
It was very adorable. Yes.
Let us know what you think of the power of reading and how it has served you in the past. Share titles that have disturbed you into making changes and those that have given you hope for a better future.
And let us know where you go to for your source of truth in turbulent times. These are important times, and reading is a necessary tool in your arsenal of weapons.
And remember, author Ali Condi gives us this hope. The beauty of dystopia is it lets us vicariously experience future worlds, but we still have the power to change our own.